Tonight on Blackhawks Live, a new season, different faces, and the drive to win.
Jones high slot, fires, Patsy, rebound, score! Connor Bedard, Donato to Nazar over the blue line, down the slot, he shoots, he scores! Frank Nazar on a breakaway!
Join Charlie Romiliotis as he dives into what's next for the Hawks. Here's Charlie.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Welcome into Blackhawks Live. Charlie Romiliotis here in our downtown studio at WGN Radio. Got Jack Heinrich, my guy, riding shotgun with me. Jack, gross day outside today. A lot of traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Muggy.
I'm just happy I'm here.
I'm here. It did take me a while to get to the studio tonight. You and me both.
Yeah.
Strolled up a little later than we wanted. It was like, man, the roads were tough today. We got a packed show today. A lot of things happening in Blackhawks land, especially today at practice. Connor Bedard got moved to the wing. I know the last show we did, we kind of pitched that idea. Maybe that's something the Blackhawks can explore to get him going offensively. Seth Jones suffered a right foot injury on the road trip that he just suddenly left the lineup in Vancouver. So we'll talk about him and the impact that his absence on the blue line brings. But the most notable storyline coming out of practice today, Jack, was Taylor Hall acknowledging the healthy scratch on Saturday in Vancouver for the first time. And I think Luke Richardson had even mentioned it after the game, or it might have been before the game against Vancouver, saying that Taylor Hall was not happy about it. And we were able to chat with Taylor today, and he kind of was very raw, very honest, candid conversation about his thoughts on how it was handled. And then Luke Richardson responding to Taylor Hall's just the lack of communication leading up to the healthy scratch. So let's play the sound both by Taylor Hall and Luke Richardson, and then Jack and I will share our thoughts on the other end.
Yeah, I was just disappointed. Disappointed not be playing. I love to play, and that's really it. I just want to play better. I want to contribute to our team.
Were you a little surprised by it?
Yeah, I was surprised, yeah. There hadn't been a lot of... it was unexpected from the standpoint of I just didn't know that I was, even close to being in that spot, really. If there was some conversations in the days leading up about my game, or if I was, constantly being shown video, it would be one thing, but I was a bit surprised.
Did you say anything to that effect when you had that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, we communicated, and it wasn't anything argumentative. He thought it was best for me to just reset, and so that's what I'm going to do. I'm not immune to coaching, and I'm not immune to being held accountable, so I just want to play better. I want to be better for our team, and there's some things in my game that when I'm not playing well, Luke and the coaching staff, obviously just want me to do a bit better. So that's really it. We talked today, and I'm excited to play tomorrow.
Yeah, no, there's, that could be part of my problem too. Sometimes you give veterans a little bit more of a grace period, and I know he's been frustrated. And I don't want the frustration to lead too long, so it was a good time for just maybe a little setback. But for me to communicate with him, I need to get to know the player more to see how they like to handle that. And obviously, we've talked lots during and after, but maybe before. It needs to be more before. So that's just something that I learn about one player. I think he had a great practice today. Part of my thought process was to have a couple of days like this just to kind of reset and go. And we hope it leads that way.
Do you feel like you two are on the same page now after the healthy conversation?
No, he was great today. He was great, and he's all in about being better for himself and for the team, and that's all a coach can ask for. So he's always been great like that. I know nobody likes to get sat out or miss a game, no matter what the circumstances are. But, for him, he's also a guy that's missed 4, 8 or 9 months of playing games, and You know, he's used to being at a high level. He holds himself there, and we think of him as that. So we're just trying to figure out a way to get him back there.
That was Blackhawks forward Taylor Hall and head coach Luke Richardson talking about the handling of Taylor Hall's healthy scratch on Saturday. Let's try to peel back some of the layers on this. And I'll start with this. When Luke Richardson had divulged that Taylor Hall was going to be a healthy scratch in Vancouver, he did not make a big deal about it. It was even going back and listening to the answer of why Taylor Hall is a healthy scratch. He really towed the line between playing the card of he suffered a significant injury last season with the ACL, missed a good chunk of time. And then while he was kind of, he was probably cleared to play a hockey game in May, but it was in the heart of the offseason. So there was, you know, he had to wait till September, Taylor Hall, to get back onto the ice and to actually get involved in formal practices again. So this wasn't a situation where Luke Richardson was saying, Taylor Hall's got to be better, like strictly calling out Taylor in the media. I think he understood the delicacy of the situation and wanted to kind of downplay the severity of it. Having said that, do I think Luke Richardson mishandled the situation by not communicating up front? Sure, I do think so. And I think it's fair criticism, but I appreciate that Luke was the first one to say, hey, I messed up and this is an area I could be better at. And I think the challenge for me, and this might be a macro scale in society these days, it's like when people mess up, it's really easy to pile on and go straight to the,
absolutely,
you know, like a lot of fans are going straight to the conclusion that it's a fireable offense. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, oh man. I mean,
it's a
man,
big jump,
huge leap to go there. And I think it's pent up frustration maybe by some of the fan base. And I don't want to lump everyone into this, but you know, I think it's a natural reaction where the Hawks wanted to take the next step this year. And we're seeing kind of similar results, at least in the win loss column. How they're getting there, I think, is different. Like, I think they're more competitive in games this year, but the lack of scoring has been a frustration for the Blackhawks. And this is where I will side with Luke Richardson. The Hawks have had a very tough time scoring goals this season. And I shouldn't say this season as a whole, really the last couple weeks. I mean, they've played, I think they have one even strength goal in four or five consecutive games. The power play is really struggling. And get a load of this. The Hawks have dressed 14 total forwards this season. 9 of the 14 forwards have been healthy scratches at some point this season. Lucas Reichel, Philip Kurashev, some Ilya Mikheyev, some notable names have been healthy scratches in addition to Taylor Hall. And so I don't blame Luke Richardson necessarily from the standpoint of saying, man, we're trying to look for some sort of shakeup to our lineup. Has it been a little bit too much for my liking? I think so, but I don't blame the intent behind it, because he's saying what we're doing isn't working and we need to find a combination that clicks. And so where the misstep was for Luke Richardson was not communicating where Taylor Hall stood in the Blackhawks lineup, because if it was getting on the verge where you saw Taylor Hall falling to the third line or the fourth line before the healthy scratch, I think you could see the writing on the wall. But none of that happened, and for that reason, I do side with Taylor Hall, and I appreciated Luke's honesty in owning up to the mistake.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it did sound like he didn't handle it the right way, just because, like, it just maybe give him a heads up, like, hey, we're thinking this, just to reset you. Because later on, when Taylor's talking, you can tell he's like, yeah, you know, I'm gonna go with it. You know, I'm gonna reset, and hopefully that helps. But yeah, I mean, it just seems like every day there's a lineup shake, and then it was like, oh, well, Taylor Hall is kind of one of your bigger guys you were thinking. So, and last week I'm like, oh, he's looking better skating, and then he gets healthy scratch. So,
yeah.
But yeah, well, I mean, I think tomorrow will be interesting, because how does he respond from that? Maybe in the long run, maybe Luke was right by doing it, but the process wasn't there. You know, it got to the result they wanted, but he could have handled it better.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, I think he is just trying to find something, because they've changed. It feels like every day there's a new line configuration all around.
Yeah, and Luke Richardson made it clear today after practice that he wasn't trying to play mind games on Taylor Hall, wasn't trying to send a message to the locker room by doing this or whatever. This was strictly him trying to find the right combination, and this decision potentially helping Taylor in the long term. And in addition, the Blackhawks offense in the long term. And I do want to say this too, because, you know, I have been getting, you know, the job security questions about Luke Richardson are starting to come more and more from the fan base. But I think it's misdirected energy. I think it's way too premature. I shouldn't say way too premature, because I don't want to make it sound like Luke Richardson is totally immune from criticism. Because yeah, I mean, think
I've
it's
asked
fair.
You when we're yeah, just been around the office. Right. I've asked you about it. So
yeah, and so I think it's fair to you know, if he makes decisions that you don't agree with, you can call him out and maybe just disagree with the decisions. But this is where I'll side with. I still think the Blackhawks roster is so far away from competing. And I was doing some research earlier today, but I was doing it in real time in the last post game show. And so I don't know if I articulated myself the way I wanted to. So I'll kind of reiterate it right now. A lot of the Blackhawks roster last season was filled with, like, almost half the roster was filled with borderline NHL players. And a lot of those players that the Hawks had last year are no longer in the NHL. You look at Jared Tenorti, Jacob Megna, Reese Johnson, Mackenzie Entwistle. All four of those guys were fairly regulars in the NHL lineup last year with the Blackhawks. They're all in the AHL right now. Tyler Johnson, veteran, multi-Stanley Cup winner. He signed a PTO with the Boston Bruins over in training camp. Just recently, he turned that into an NHL contract, and I think it was probably the veteran minimum as well. Colin Blackwell, a guy that was a third line plug for the Blackhawks last year, spark plug last year for the Blackhawks, signed on day two of free agency earlier this summer, and it was for the league minimum. Taylor Radish signed a 1 year, $1 million contract with the Capitals. So again, really small or really minor contract. Nikita Zaitsev, who was playing on the defense last year, he's now in the KHL, so he's not in the NHL anymore. And Rem Pitlick, who he played, I think, like 10 games with the Blackhawks when he's still a UFA. Like no team has signed him even to a minor league contract, I don't think. And then you couple that the fact with the Lucas Reichel, him not taking the next step. Andreas Athanasiou was injured for most of the year. So I look at the Blackhawks roster this year and the additions they made. It was Tyler Bertuzzi, Teuvo Teravainen, Ilya Mikheyev, Pat Maroon, Craig Smith. Those are all upgrades up front from last year's Blackhawks team. But it's still, I mean, it's still not a significant upgrade relative to the other NHL teams in the same range as them. It's in like the bottom feeder teams, right? And so that's where I'm looking at, you know, the offense, and I'm like, man, I think the Blackhawks went into this season expecting to be more competitive in games, but it was still going to be a struggle to generate offense. And I've mentioned this quite a few times now, but I'll reiterate it again. If you go back and watch the season debut episode of the Every Shift by the Blackhawks, at the very end of the episode, the coaching staff, the management group, they're sitting in the coach's room and they're staring at a whiteboard on the wall. And before fielding the roster, Blackhawks associate GM Norm MacIver is looking at the marker board and he's clicking his pen and he's like, man, if we want to be more competitive this year, where are the goals going to come from? Because we have to significantly increase our offensive goal total. And so before the Hawks even hit the ice, it seemed like there was concern within that room of where the offensive production was going to come. And, you know, I did the math too. Last season, the Hawks scored 178 goals. Okay. If you add 50 goals from last season for the Blackhawks, that would put them up to 228 goals. Okay. Last year, that still would have been fifth worst in the NHL if you added 50 goals to last year's Blackhawks team. So while the Blackhawks should see an improvement in the standings, like being more competitive, which I think for the most part we're seeing, I don't think this offense, the lack of offense right now, is catching anyone by surprise internally by the Blackhawks, because they knew that it was going to be a grind. It's really Connor Bedard, Teuvo Teravainen, Tyler Bertuzzi, those three guys aren't producing, and you can even lump Taylor Hall in there. Those four guys, the big guys, aren't producing on a level that I think they had hoped. And that's where the Blackhawks were saying, I don't know if we were expecting that at this point in the season.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I kind of forgot that all those guys were playing so much. I mean, Tenorti was, I mean, he was one of their, he played defense, like he was one of their big guys that they played a lot. So, yeah, I mean, it makes, I guess that makes sense because when you look at the, I mean, they just got killed with injuries and like they're just trying to find people to play. And that is, I didn't realize, like if you add 50 more goals, they're still in the bottom half. Yeah. So, I guess that does make sense. It's still, I think some people, I mean, even including myself, like you see Bertuzzi and Teravainen, and you're like, oh, you know, like maybe they'll score more and maybe win some more games, but they still have a lot to add, and they still got these young guys coming too that aren't up here too, so you're hoping they can add into it too, but it's not the finished product, I guess, and maybe some of those signings and Kyle Davidson saying we want to be more competitive led to people thinking they're going to be a little better, and they're still just kind of floating around in the bottom.
Right. I think my feeling would be different if the Blackhawks went into this season with higher expectations, right, where maybe they wanted to knock on the door of a playoff or whatever. But those weren't the expectations. The expectations was, let's just improve the hockey team. I think last year they had 52 points, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, a significant improvement would be finishing around 73, like a 20-point increase.
That's a big, yeah,
from
big
year to year is pretty significant. Having said that, an improvement like that still would still gets you near the bottom of the league in the NHL standings. And so I think it's hard for us to compartmentalize how challenging last year's roster was versus this year's roster. And it looks like a night and day difference. But then you put up this year's Blackhawks roster and compare it to other teams in the bottom cellar of the NHL, or just like the bottom eight teams, and you're like, oh, yeah, the Blackhawks are kind of in that range. And so that's where I think I would understand the criticism of Luke Richardson as far as his job security if Frank Nazar was a full-time NHL player, Lefshinov was a full-time NHL player, Korchinski was a full-time NHL player this year, and those guys weren't developing the way that the Chicago hopes. But literally the only guy that's on this roster right now outside of Connor Bedard is Vlasic, Wyatt Kaiser. I'm not sure, like we're talking about the young guys, like the prospects. Those are really the guys that are jumping out to me that are going to be impactful type pieces on a consistent basis on the next great Blackhawks team. So it almost feels unfair,
right,
to, again, not saying Luke is immune from criticism, but I think it would be unfair to think that a new coach could come in here and be dealt with a roster that is not even going to be a similar roster in like 2 years when the Blackhawks take that upward trajectory.
Yeah, it'd be different if it was, yeah, like you said, it's like now is the time we're trying to compete and like push the playoff bubble. That's a good point. And it's not like if they fire the coach, it's like, oh, now they're gonna go do what Edmonton did last year when they started bad and then they fire their coach and then they go on to the final. It's like they're not at that point yet. So I think that's well said. You're fair to criticize, and I mean the lines change every day, so like we could talk about that, but they're still early in the rebuild.
All right, let's park that topic. We're going to transition into Connor Bedard talk when we come back. We got more to get to on Blackhawks Live. Stick with us right here on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, Charlie Romeliotis here with Jack Heinrich. I want to tie up a quick loose end from our talk in the first segment about Luke Richardson, and I want to bring an example of the Montreal Canadiens, because Marty St. Louis' name has been out there as, you know, is it time for them to change coaches or whatever? And I think that's more of a fair discussion because they have 14 points in 18 games. The Hawks have 13 and 18, so they're right next to each other. The difference between the Blackhawks and Canadiens, though, is Montreal, a lot of their younger players are already in the NHL. Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, Lane Hutson, Yaroslav Slavkovsky, Kirby Dach, Caden Gooley, Alex Newhook, a lot of players that are going to be playing significant roles on the next great Montreal Canadiens team is already in the NHL. And so if you don't feel like Marty St. Louis is getting the most out of that group and maybe it's time for a coach to take them to the next level, you know, I think that's a fair discussion. But with Luke Richardson, I mean, a lot of the players that he has right now likely aren't going to be here on the next great Blackhawks team. And so that's why I feel like those situations are different. And I think it's premature to think, you know, there should be any sort of job security issues with Luke Richardson, who's trying to do his best with the Blackhawks roster that he currently has. So anyway, just wanted to share that. Let's get to our Hawks Click, our poll we've put out on social media earlier today on WGNRadio.com. Do you agree with the Blackhawks' decision to temporarily move Connor Bedard to the wing? So lines changed up again today at practice, and the most notable was Connor Bedard on the left wing on the first line with Jason Dickinson and Joey Anderson. And we talked about it, I think, on the last show, or maybe it's been on the post-game shows for me. I know I definitely said it on the last post-game show. I just think it's time to move Connor Bedard to the wing, just free him up offensively. He has no goals in his last nine games. The shots on goal are starting to dwindle. He has just five shots in the last four contests, and so you could just feel like he needs some sort of a spark. And just to free him up psychologically from any sort of, I shouldn't say any sort of defensive responsibilities, but from the primary responsibilities of the center position and taking those important faceoffs, now you have a guy like Jason Dickinson on his line who's pretty much going to take every single faceoff on that line, is like one of the most defensively responsible forwards in the NHL. And I don't say that with exaggeration. Like, he has legitimately played his way into a Selke type conversation. And you pair him with a guy with Joey Anderson, might not be the best fit, but he's a guy that can retrieve pucks. And he has that chemistry with Jason Dickinson. So it's going to just be up to Connor to try to find where he fits in with them, and kind of vice versa. But Jack, I think it's the right move, putting Connor on the wing and just letting him see. I mean, it can't hurt any worse than it has. And I think just to allow him to create offense and to focus on generating some offense from the wing, I think might free him up psychologically.
Yeah, I agree too. I mean, I voted yes for that. But yeah, I mean, I think Dickinson's just a solid center too, and like, he doesn't have to worry about the faceoffs, and Joey Anderson's really responsible with the puck, so maybe they could just do a good job of just getting the puck when Bedard's on the ice, and maybe he can make something happen. So I mean, really anything just to spark him right now. I mean, that's all he's really looking for, because it's like, he had the shots and he was getting some assists, and now everything's kind of dwindling down. So really anything. But I mean, we were talking about how they've been changing the lines up so much, but I don't know how much more they should be doing that, but at least for him going to wing, I think that's a good move.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like they probably should have experimented it with it a little bit sooner. But, you know, I was talking with someone earlier today, and, you know, we were having a conversation about maybe it was they didn't want to create a headline going into the Vancouver game where it's Connor's
fair
hometown,
enough, yeah,
you know, homecoming game, and, you know, not making a big deal. Because, man, I thought before they went on this road trip, I thought I saw Bedard on the wing at practice. Like, I was pretty convinced that I saw it the right way. And then the Hawks went into Seattle and he was still at center. But, you know, might just be, you know, I'm not sure. By the way, 77% of fans that voted on the poll agree with you that it was the right time to temporarily move Connor to the wing and just to kind of free him up. I also want to say Connor Bedard, he appeared on Hockey Night in Canada after the game. It was Scott Oak, who does the after hours for Sportsnet. And credit to Connor, because that is I think it's like a 25-minute interview, might even be 30 with the intermissions and or with the commercials. Mm-hmm. And especially after a game like that where he didn't generate much, he's probably grumpy because the losses are piling, but his goal drought is also being extended by the game. And man, we talked to him like 2 weeks ago and he was frustrated with like a 4-game goal drought. Now it's gotten up to 9 and he is really frustrated with himself. And there was one thing that Connor said in there that stood out to me, just taking a peek into his psyche. And his quote when asked by Scott Oak about the Hawks, about the expectations for himself this season, Connor said specifically, "I feel responsible for a lot of our struggles just with my game where it's at. It's not even close to where it should be or where it needs to be." So he's taking, like, him talking about his personal game, saying it's not close to where it needs to be is one thing. But when he says, "I feel responsible for a lot of our team's struggles," man, that's a heavy burden to carry as a 19-year-old kid. and he wants it so badly. Like, he wants to win. He also wants to produce, because he knows that if he's not producing, he's not helping the team win. And so it kind of goes hand in hand. But for him to carry that burden, and he even acknowledged in that interview that it's been tough mentally on him. I'm glad he got a chance to be home for a day or two, spend some time with the family, sleep in his own bed. He even shot pucks in his backyard with the, where he's got that netting built around and the wooden things that kind of prevent the puck from flying and hitting a window of the neighbors. And so I'm glad he was able to get that family time and be able to his family pour into him, and just emotionally, because, man, it feels like he's mentally carrying all of this weight on and kind of blaming himself for some of the team struggles, and it goes beyond that. But I think you want to get to a point where he's not being so overly hard on himself that it's impacting his day-to-day life and it's impacting his ability to actually produce and play well in hockey games.
Yeah, I mean, he's just like the focal point of the offense, and in that, it's what everybody talks about. It's like, oh, they got Bedard, he's gonna do this and that, and I think a lot of teams are keen in on him, and I think they're seeing, like, if they're able to shut him down, the Hawks aren't gonna generate right. too much. So I think he's getting the best. I mean, as it is on the top line, but like, he's getting like the best defensive effort, and now he's not scoring, so maybe like there's the other, like, just the whole mental side. Like, he's facing this, like, last year he was able to score a bunch, even on that team that was so bad and not a lot around him. But this year, it's in the second year, I think he probably feels like he should be farther along, and he's kind of facing that adversity for the first time, so he's got to power through it. So hopefully Dickinson, I mean, he's a good veteran, Foligno, all those guys can help him in the dressing room. I mean, he really just needs one to go in, and I feel like he could breathe a big sigh of relief and kind of get back to what he's been doing. But it's going to happen in your career when the puck can't find the back of the net. So hopefully this helps him. And he's so well-spoken for a 19-year-old. He's just like, I'm not playing good, so our team's not doing good. And he's just taking that burden. He's just like, he's probably just passed 80-something games in the NHL or close to it because of the injury time he missed last year. But he understands what he can do, and he's already, I mean, he's so mature in the media, that impresses me as well.
Yeah, and I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, because a lot of the conversations last year were, if you shut down Connor Bedard, you're probably going to win the hockey game going against, if you're an opponent going up against the Blackhawks. And so in some ways, it's kind of true, but you don't want him to feel the responsibility that,
right,
hey, you're not playing well, and because you're not playing well, the team's not playing well.
It's your fault.
It's just really, I mean, that's real for a 19-year-old kid, it's really tough. And I think one of the reasons why he had a little bit higher expectations of himself, not just that the team seems a little bit better around him, but last year his summer was so busy with draft stuff, the scouting combine, getting pulled in so many different directions with, you know, going to the combine, then flying to the Stanley Cup final, doing media stuff there, then the draft in wherever it was,
Nashville,
right? Yeah, you're right. Nashville, I was gonna say Vegas, but that was this year. Going to Nashville, then flying to Chicago, doing media stuff in Chicago, development camp. I mean, there was just so much last year where he probably just didn't get a chance to breathe. Remember the first day at training camp, we talked to him this year, and he was like, man, I didn't do media for like 2 months. It was great. You know, so he probably was like, for him, he was probably able to just take a breather, work on his game, take the feedback of his first career NHL season into consideration on where does he need to improve and whatever. And so coming into this year and only having three goals going into tomorrow night's game on November 19th, he probably just expected so much more of himself. But I want to put this into perspective, because there's a guy named Nathan MacKinnon who is one of the best NHL players. I'd say a guy named Nathan MacKinnon, like, everyone knows who Nathan MacKinnon is if you're a hockey fan, won the Hart Trophy last year for NHL MVP. Check out his stats in the first four full NHL seasons in the NHL. 63 points in 82 games, 38 points in 64 games, 52 points in 72 games, and then how about this? Year four, 53 points in 82 games. 53 points in a full 82-game season. What did Connor have last year? 61 in 68 or something like that?
Yeah.
So it's like, it took Nathan MacKinnon year five to break out. And Colorado had some tough years within those first 4 years with Nathan MacKinnon being at the beginning of his career. But it took a while for MacKinnon to even break out and be the player and reach his ceiling. I'm not saying it's going to take 4 years for Bedard, but I don't think he should be extremely hard on himself, because there are examples of elite NHL players that kind of needed to work through the grind of, and Colorado is kind of in a similar position because they had a historically bad year. What year was it? Maybe it was the year that MacKinnon had 53 points where they finished dead last in the NHL, and to that point, it was the worst season in NHL history from a point perspective, and so, or at least one of the worst. And so, it took a while for MacKinnon to break out, but also his team to get to a Stanley Cup caliber. So, I think it's important to put it into perspective if you're Connor Bedard, that just because there is that little bit of a sophomore slump doesn't mean you're a bust. Doesn't mean you're not the player that you think you are. You know, he's going to be a 50-goal scorer in the NHL, and he's going to be a 90-plus-point player, maybe even 100, depending on, I don't want to put a cap on his ceiling, so I'll just say 90-plus. He's going to be an elite point producer in the NHL and a guy that drives a franchise. There's just, you got to get some of those pieces around him, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, a lot of those pieces you need to wait on, like Nazar and a lot of the young forwards, Korchinski, Levshinov, for them to become full-time NHL players, because right now the Blackhawks roster is just kind of filled with some stopgap options. All right, we got one more break to get to. Jack and I are going to wrap up the Blackhawks Live show after this. You're listening to 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, Charlie Romeliotis here with Jack Heinrich, putting a bow on this packed episode. A lot happening in Blackhawks land, and we finish off with Seth Jones, who the Blackhawks placed on injured reserve before Saturday's game because of a right foot injury that he apparently suffered on Thursday. I believe it was the third period of the Seattle game. Ended up finishing the game because usually when you block a shot, the adrenaline sets in and you don't really feel the severity of it. But I'm sure after he took his skate off and the Blackhawks assessed the situation, it was a little bit more severe than just a bruise. And so he's going to miss at least the next 7 days, retroactive from November 14th. Jack, this is a massive loss for the Blackhawks, and I know Seth gets a lot of flack by the fan base sometimes. Some of it unfair, some of it, whatever. No player is immune to any sort of criticism, but when you don't realize the importance of a guy like Seth until he's out of the lineup, and you're like, oh boy, where are the Hawks going to replace his minutes? Mm-hmm. And it's basically, it's got to be a committee type approach, because there's really not one player that can shoulder the amount of minutes and the important minutes that Seth does bring to the lineup.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's missed a few games in the past, and the Hawks have struggled to figure that out. I mean, Alex Vlasic played a little bit more on Saturday, and he talked after the game, and you could tell he's just like, yeah, like, we all got to step up, but he plays so many minutes, and like, even Alex was playing a little more than he normally does. So, and now he's playing the top power play. Not even like when they just shook it up at the beginning of the year. Now he's got to do it for the next week or so. So that's a big adjustment too with everything that they have going on. So it is hard, because I think, was he leading the league in ice time?
Well, he's probably up there.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, he always is. So yeah, it'll have to be by committee. And like you said, say what you want, he's still pretty solid up there. And sometimes you're going to have some guys playing out of position. So it'll be interesting to see who can take over. Louis Crevier is up now, so see what he can do. But yeah, still a big loss for the defense that has struggled the last 2 years in front of the goaltenders.
For sure. And a guy like Seth Jones, too, I was looking at last year, they went 15 games without him because he had suffered a shoulder injury. And in those 15 games, the Hawks went 3-11-1. So they only picked up 7 out of a possible 30 points. Their goals for was 31, goals against was 61, so the goal differential was minus 30.
Wow.
So they averaged barely over 2 goals per game in those 15 games, and then the goal differential of minus 30 was the worst in the NHL over that span. Mm-hmm. So again, you take him out of the lineup, and part of me feels like if you play that many minutes, you're bound to make mistakes because right, you're just naturally out there for almost half the game. And so his ice time is upticked a little bit from last year, and his 10 points was third on the team before he got injured. So that's a it's a real tough injury for the Blackhawks, and we'll see how long he's going to be out for.
Yeah, so it's a chance for some of these young guys like Nolan Allen, Wyatt Kaiser to play a little bit more and see what they can do as well. So, yeah, it'll be interesting coming home this next week and trying to replace that and see how they react.
All right. Good stuff, Jack. Thanks for rolling with me today. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live. Blackhawks versus Anaheim Ducks on Tuesday at the United Center. Need a big offensive explosion for the Blackhawks to get this team back on the right track. Pregame show starts at 7 p.m. right here on 720. We'll talk to you then.